another episode of Central Coast in Court.
Welcome.
Anytime I open, you always do that, welcome. It's like we could just make that the intro.
We could.
So today's episode is a little bit different than our normal stops. Normally we go to a winery that's like a single label or, you know, a family of labels. But today we actually are taking you to a wine shop.
Yes.
And it is Madeline's in Cambria. They do not have like a specific flight that they take you through every single day or even, you know, change it up once a month, but it's pretty custom based on your taste, which is really cool.
This is actually the third time that I've been there, and every time I've had different wines.
Nice.
There was like maybe one overlap, but that's pretty good. I mean, in a short amount of time since January.
Yeah.
I really like that kind of format though, especially like as a local, like I love that I could go back next week and have a completely different experience, or mm-hmm. You can take anybody there and they'll find something that they like. Like, yeah. I think that's really cool and not common. Like, I can't think of anywhere else that does that off the top of my head.
Right. Which, you know, you can go with someone else and you can each have a completely different flight. Like, you don't have to taste the same things, which is kind of cool.
It is.
Also, the tasting fee is between $12 to $15 a person, depending on what wines they open. So I feel like that's also a really approachable price point.
Waived with a bottle, he said, I think.
Yeah, if you purchase wine.
They also are a great restaurant in the evenings.
And Wednesday through Sundays, they have a bistro menu that you can eat from during wine shop hours, which
I'm
is great.
I'm super stoked about that because
we were not there on a Wednesday through Sunday, so that was a bummer.
It is, but I'm going to go back.
Yeah, we'll let you know how it is.
Yes.
So if you are interested in maybe tasting some labels that either don't have their own tasting room or being able to jump around a little bit, not just taste through one single person, I think if you're in Cambria, Madeline's is a great stop.
I think so too. Yeah. It's worth the trip to Cambria.
Absolutely. Plus, it's beautiful up there. Like, have some wine, go hang out at the beach, and then go drink some more wine.
Yeah.
And have dinner.
We can plan a perfect day for you in Cambria. Yeah. Just email us.
All right, you guys. Well, we hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll see you next week.
Have a good week.
Here we don't usually have a set menu, or we never have a set menu.
Okay.
We go based off your palate, so we'll ask you, you know, what do you like?
Oh,
first
cool.
off, whites, reds, any certain styles that we should stick to.
Yeah.
So sounds like we're gonna be doing a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So I'll start you off with a couple lovely whites from the area, if that's okay.
Cool.
Yeah, sure.
So do you guys mostly do like local wines?
Yeah,
or
so
do you have some
we try to stick
wines?
As local as possible. And then we're more boutique style wine shop,
okay.
so meaning a lot of low-case production items.
Yeah.
Plenty of things which actually you can't find elsewhere.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, which I'll pour you a couple tastes of a couple interesting things from the area. So yeah, it's really fun to come in and check to see what we have going on.
Yeah, for like places that don't have a tasting room, but they can taste, people can taste their wines
exactly,
here.
Exactly, yeah.
I was really impressed, so, because we came here with the girls from the salon after a class one day, and I think Grady was here that day. And, you know, he's like, I'm sure he rolled his eyes internally so many times because he's like, oh, so what do you like? And I'm like, oh, a little bit of everything. And he's like, yeah, right. Like, and then, like, we had one person who only likes sweet wine. Spot on, everybody loved everything.
Oh,
like, it was
great.
Really impressive
that's
to just
awesome.
Kind of pull it out of thin air,
right.
you know? Like, it,
right.
it was neat.
And that's
it was
kind
awesome.
Of, again, that's kind of our shtick here is kind of, you know, we try to accommodate your palate as opposed to just, this is what we have and this is what you're going to get.
You must taste this.
Exactly.
And you must like it.
So how long have you guys been doing wine tasting here?
Well, actually, since before it was Madeline's.
Oh. Yeah.
This wine shop's been here for,
for a long time.
Like 30 years or
oh,
something
wow.
like that.
Yeah.
Over 20 years for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was owned by Dennis was the previous owner, and he sold it to David, I want to say like 5 years ago or something like that. And before then, we had a completely different setup, no tables on this side. And before Madeline's was here, we had an Italian restaurant, and they kind of divvied up business.
Very cool.
But David took it over. He's got his own label now, and we're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
But I'll start you off with a little taste of this Baker & Brain Grüner Veltliner.
Cool.
Okay. It's an Austrian dried grape. It's grown locally out of San Luis Obispo, however. But very nice, light-bodied, dry, crisp. Again, it's a pretty interesting varietal. You won't see it much.
I like the Baker and Brain wine.
Yeah. It's usually had it pretty good.
I had a glass of it somewhere recently with dinner. But I couldn't tell you where. No idea.
This is actually one that we don't offer it by the glass, but we usually have it open since it's a part of our prefixed dinner, the tasting menu. It's one of the pairings. So again, it's usually available. It's one that I really like to bring out and offer guests and, you know, catch them by surprise. Yeah. And most of the time, they end up really liking it.
Yeah. The name, like, makes me feel like it's going to be sweet. Every time. Every time I've ever had it, I'm like, oh, that's going to be sweet. And it's not. And right. I've always liked it every time. I don't know why. It's the new Grenache for me. Like, I'm prejudiced against it. Like, I always have to have one grape that I'm...
Right. I can see why. I mean, it's got that strong, you know, almost German-like name.
Yeah.
You know, and traditionally, like, German wines, you know, Riesling, Gewürztraminer can be a
maybe I just
sweet,
stop but... listening at the Gruh and, like, make no, up the no, rest like of that. I'm like, no, that can't be it.
It seems very food-friendly. What do you guys pair it with?
Oh, definitely. We pair that with our soup and or salad.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so soup changes nightly, so that's always kind of... you never know what you're going to get, but with the salad especially.
But this feels very versatile. Like, definitely. It could go with...
Yeah, I like this a lot.
Yeah, it's very bright.
Yeah. You know, but not, like, the acidity is nice, but it's not, like, overpowering. Like, it's very balanced.
Right.
Maybe I need to take some camping.
I thought you weren't, like, we've switched because I wasn't buying wine for a while, and then everywhere we've gone recently, you've bought wine.
I'm out of white wine. I drank it all. I had, like, hoarded it all, and now it's gone. You kind of go through phases.
I like that.
It's nice. Say.
And you guys sell this by the bottle here?
Yes, we sell it by the bottle. Mm-hmm. We'll sell it by the case. Moving along here, so we have the Tobless Creek Rosé. This is going to be a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah.
This is one that we do offer by the glass. But it's very nice. Light, dry, crisp. Goes really well with food.
Yeah, we've had this one before. We actually did a podcast at Tobless Creek.
Did you? Okay.
I don't know if this was on the flight, but they poured it for us.
Cool. Yeah, I think, I like that. Thank you. Note to future places. We like warm a warm-up. I just got weird in my mind, and thank God I didn't open my mouth. So who decides, like, you, so when you're working here, it's up to, like, your discretion to open kind of whatever you think would be into?
We just kind of feel it out,
That's really cool. That's fun.
So we go first off based on what we already have open.
Yeah.
And again, getting a feel for everyone's different palate.
Well, and probably, are these people going to buy wine?
Exactly.
Or
So if someone's really like, oh, I like something like this, and we have have it available, but it's going to be something that's a little more higher end. Mm-hmm. Up to our discretion.
Yeah.
If we feel like they're going to take a bottle and make it worth our while, then we'll definitely open something.
Or, if you want to have a glass and you're like, well, now it's open.
Right?
These people insisted. David could never hire me here. It'd be a disaster. He'd be like, Jamie, you're literally costing me money.
That happens too, especially on weekends or, you come in on a Sunday after a busy Saturday.
Oh.
And we'll just have stuff open and available to pour by the glass or stuff available to even just taste that we usually won't have open, higher end, really low case production.
Yeah.
So it's really fun. It's kind of you're always gambling a little bit.
But.
Yeah. So with the restaurant, do you guys share any hours? Is there any crossover? Or is it when the restaurant opens, the wine shop closes?
Right. So we really try not to. We try to stick to 11 to 5 wine tasting and then 5 to 9 dinner.
Every day?
Every day. Yes, 7 days a week.
Oh.
But there have been plenty of times people come in, 15 till 5.
Yeah.
And they end up sticking around to 6 or so. And usually, we'll take care of them.
Yeah. You're like, go buy dinner.
Right.
We'll just bring these tastings to you.
Yeah.
I like this better today than I did when we were at Tobless Creek.
Oh, I just thought the same thing.
Because maybe it's colder. I feel like it wasn't as cold.
No, it wasn't as cold.
That says a lot about wine and your mood, though. Yeah. It really does affect it.
It does.
And I would have thought, because we kind of went there in fall, it was still warm.
Yeah,
warmer,
it was warm.
That I would have... Maybe it just needed to be colder.
Maybe I just haven't been drinking a lot of rosé because it's been cold.
Yeah.
So my rosé pickiness chart is on the low side.
Pour a little taste of this Lone Madrone. It's a West Point white, they call it. It's mostly Picpoul with Roussanne and Viognier as well.
Ooh, that sounds good. Yeah.
It's fine.
That's really good. That is interesting.
A little bit of like creaminess to it. I don't know where it's coming from. The Roussanne, maybe?
Probably.
This is delicious.
It's great, huh?
Yeah.
So it's not like really in your face, over the top sweet.
No.
But it does have a touch of that residual sugar from Roussanne and Viognier.
Yeah.
That Picpoul really brings out a nice acidity to it. So, sounds like you like the Lone Madrone.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, it's a great blend. So we tried three whites.
Yes.
You ready to move on to some reds?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you mentioned that most, if not all, of the wines that you guys have here are small producers. Are there any other like
most
prerequisites for like who you guys work with or have in the shop?
Not traditionally. I mean, price point for us, you know, of course, is if we're going to be able to sell it and you know, make some sort of profit margin on it. I mean, like for instance, we carry Austin Hope, which is a really mainstream these days, super popular, but it sells so well.
Yeah.
You know,
well, people
know
it.
Exactly. It sells so well, and it really falls into kind of our style.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say a good like 60 to 70% of our wines are more New World style.
Okay.
So they're going to be more fruit forward as opposed to earthy, spicy. But we do carry some Old Worlds. Like we have a really nice Cafe Society GSM right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's really acidic, that's not that's not really my taste, but I appreciate it, of course.
So do you guys like reservations for groups to come in? Like, do you have a kind of a cap where you're like, nope, sorry?
For tastings, you mean? Not that I've heard of, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, first come, first serve,
and
the more the merrier, honestly.
Cool.
If you have overflow, do you guys utilize the tables at all?
Yeah, we'll start using tables and stuff. People are usually pretty good about scooting over at the bar.
Getting cozy.
Right.
Make new friends.
Exactly. Okay. So here's a taste of a lovely Pinot Noir. It's one of my favorites, actually. Aquaria translates to seafarer. So this is made by a local guy who was born and raised in Cayucas. Yeah, and he graduated Cliff Union High School here back in 03. And actually, when I was still in high school, is when he realized he really wanted to make wine. So he ended up doing what he loves and does a great job at that. So grapes for this are sourced out of Cambria, San Simeon, and Pismo. So very coastal, you know, perfect climate for Pinot. I think it's got a good complexity, some earth, maybe a little bit of spice even with grapefruit forwardness as well.
I've had this one before, and it always reminds me of the Presqu'île. And I feel like they must get their grapes from, because I think there's only one vineyard in San Simeon, right? Like it's up San Simeon Creek Road.
Maybe, yeah, that's where. Yep.
Yeah, so like I'm pretty, because Presqu'île couldn't get their grapes anymore, and they stopped making that Pinot. But then this one popped up. And I'm totally assuming I'm like making up this in my mind, but I would be curious to see like if the transition that them stopping and this starting like matches.
Yeah, he.
Plus, it's Cambria, so who you know is everything.
Totally, yeah, yeah. But this pairs well with food. As I'm sure you can tell already, I'm a server here, and I've been here for a little over 7 years now. And this is one of my favorites. If people, you know, are doing like some sort of seafood and some meat, but they want a bottle, it's not super extremely light as far as Pinot goes. It's got a little bit more body, and I feel like it's got enough complexity.
Yeah,
to pull
no, it's
a lot
delicious.
Of dishes. Pretty diverse.
I want to have a salad.
I'll eat the goat cheese from your salad.
I was like, I want to have a salad, like a spinach salad with goat cheese and like strawberries. I like this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So does he have a tasting room? Or
he
is...
does. Okay. He has a tasting room in Tin City out in Paso.
Oh.
Right across from the Barrel House.
Oh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a small place, but it's really nice, actually.
Yeah.
It's a small tasting room, but like his tables and stuff, he likes to work with his hands a lot, so he made that all himself.
Oh, that's cool.
A lot of the stuff, yeah. Yeah, it's a cool setup.
And is this do you carry more bottles of his, or is this the one bottle that you can get?
We also have a Petite Syrah.
Oh.
I would pour it, but we don't have it right
now.
No,
that's
unfortunately
okay.
Out. But yeah, and that Petite Syrah is outstanding. Full-bodied, bold, fruit-forward, with a little bit of spice on the finish.
Nice.
What is your guys' tasting fee?
It just depends, honestly, how many tastes we pour. Because, again, we don't have a menu, per se. But anywhere from, like, 12 to 15, depending on what was open.
That's reasonable.
What we
yeah.
poured and
yeah.
how much we
especially
poured.
Especially because it's customized.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And extra incentive, if you end up buying a bottle, even, we'll waive tasting fees.
Cool.
Cool.
And also, if you come in and dine with us, and say you come back a day or two later, you have a coupon that you can bring back with you,
oh.
and it's good for either two free tastings or 15% off any sales in the wine shop.
Ah, that's cool.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys have a wine club.
Yes, we do.
So can you
yeah,
tell
so
us about
it's,
that?
It's called the Big Red Wine Club. It kind of says it on the name. It's going to be Big Red's 4 shipments a year. It's a 6-pack per shipment. And lately he's been because we got a couple new varietals from our own label.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been sending out those the new varietals for the last one. I know he did the Cuvée because it changed a little bit from the last vintage. And I believe for this next one coming up in March, he's sending out the Cab Franc, and I want to say either a Petit Verdot or the Malbec.
Nice.
Yeah, and then of course, one other usually local, and they usually stick to two local and then one from wherever. Just to kind of, you know.
Cool.
Keep
that's
it different.
Awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And with the wine club, you can also modify your shipment. So you can go down like 3 bottles,
yeah.
you know, stuff like that. And he does really fun pickup parties, too.
I'm sure.
He'll make
sure
appetizers,
yeah,
and there's usually new
yeah,
wines to taste.
Yeah.
Super fun. We'll move along to the Cerro Mítico. They call it the Beast of Prey. It's a Grenache Syrah blend. The grapes are sourced out of Santa Maria Valley, but the wine itself is made here.
Oh.
He only produces a couple barrels a year, which turns out to be maybe 60 cases.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's fantastic. We skipped a vintage last year, but we're on to this one, and we're so excited to have it back because this is one that, if we have it open, usually basically sells itself.
I've never seen that label before,
mm-hmm.
ever.
Mm-hmm. You can only find it here.
Like
okay.
here, right here,
only
in
here.
This...
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah,
fancy.
Yeah. So this is one of the ones, again, that makes it worth coming in. And
so
yeah.
same winemaker or just someone that you've developed a relationship with?
No, somebody else. That yeah. Yeah, we carried this... before we started our own label.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so confused.
So it's got that, you know, the look of a Syrah, the fruit forwardness, but the Grenache really balances things out and makes it not over the top. Very easy to drink, I think.
Yeah, that's... I want to just keep looking at
and
the
we,
label. Like, the art is crazy.
And, we, so I opened,
and then I was like, oh, it's a dragon.
Yeah.
And I opened the blend for you, but we also carry just the Grenache and just the Syrah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Interesting.
That are the same that
same.
Are in this.
Yep.
Oh, that's
yep.
cool.
And then he makes a blend, too.
I kind of feel like if my marriage was going to be a bottle of wine...
I like where that's going. Okay.
It would be this bottle.
It would be something like this. Like, kind of weird,
Grenache
intriguing. I like Grenache. She likes Syrah. Like, at first, you're like, do I like this? But I'm going to keep going back for more.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm telling you.
My mind
Cheers
is very,
to my life.
My mind is very confused. There's also something on the nose that I can't quite find the word smell that I'm looking for. It's like now I gotta
figure
out.
I'm interested.
It's a fruit and it's like almost raisiny. But it's
like
not a
currant?
Maybe a currant.
Do you know what a currant
smells
like?
I don't know
what
a currant smells like. It's something that's like a
maybe cranberry?
Maybe, yeah. A dried cranberry. A craisin.
I hate craisins.
Really?
I think
really
they're
like
so
them.
Weird.
We
I like them better than raisins.
We had roasted sweet potatoes with Brussels sprouts, walnuts, and cranberries.
I hate everything about that except sweet potatoes. Like, that sounds disgusting to me.
It's so good.
Ugh, Brussels sprouts taste like dirt.
No, they don't.
Walnuts are...
Especially not roasted.
Walnuts are bitter.
A little bit of sweetness out of them.
Currants,
I mean,
walnuts. I can see how that works together because you're getting a little bit of the bitterness and a little bit of the dirt and a little bit of this, but...
Yeah, I think it's a dried cranberry.
I feel like this season I've really been, like, guiding you into your smells and tastes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Happy to assist. Yeah, like, at first I was kind of like, I don't know, but now it's like I keep going back for more, and I'm already thinking,
like... And then
there's
some, like, earth on there, too.
Right.
There's your Brussels sprouts.
Go
so
great.
Gross. They're so gross.
I love Brussels
they are
sprouts.
So does Kurt. I make them for him.
I think
but I
great.
Just think they're so gross. They're like baby cabbages.
Yeah, but I don't really
but cabbage
like cabbage.
Tastes better.
No, it doesn't. It's like, and you usually eat it raw, and then it's like so hard to chew.
I did. One time I did make really good Brussels sprouts. It was like when Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I made shaved Brussels sprouts, but I probably had equal parts shallots, bacon, and Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, it sounds great.
So in my mind, I was mostly eating like shallots that I had sauteed in bacon fat, and it was pretty delicious. It's the only time I've enjoyed Brussels sprouts at my own hand.
I even have Eric eating Brussels sprouts.
Oh, also, I'm not sure if you knew, but we offer a bistro menu.
I did not know.
From Wednesdays through Sundays.
Oh.
So not Mondays, Tuesdays.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll do like soup and salad. Sandwich option, which is pesto chicken with brie cheese and onions and...
Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, I know, right? Not to make you any more hungry.
So,
but,
you're doing that Wednesday through Sunday?
Wednesday through Sunday.
What hours? Like, the whole time you're
Wine
open?
Wine shop. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yep. So,
genius.
Bistro menu as well.
David
yeah.
used to
and
do lunch years ago, and he made a filet mignon sandwich that was...
He did.
So good.
Right.
And we would call him and order it, and he would bring it to the salon for
oh,
us,
man.
And it was, like, the best.
That was a long
time
ago.
It was a
long time
ago.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
That's exciting. That's good to know, too.
Yeah.
And are you doing...
more business.
Will you do
here,
it
so.
To go?
Yeah, we'll do it to go.
Okay.
Of course.
That's what...
Yeah,
that's all I care about during the week. What can I get to go on this side of town?
You're welcome to take...
Like, can I get a glass of wine to go as well?
Yeah, can I get a glass of wine and a coffee cup? And...
All right. And how about a taste of... just get a feel here of our Madeleine's Malbec.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I haven't had that one.
Yeah. So this is one of the new varietals that we got in with this year's vintage. Grapes are all sourced out of Paso Robles. Not sure what vineyard he's getting them from, but I know they're all Paso. And you can see the color there. It's got a little bit more body than a traditional style Malbec. Also a little bit different style. So Malbecs tend to be more old world, earthy, spicy. This one's more Bordeaux style. Meaning it's got, again, a little more body, some oak, and much more fruit forwardness.
It smells very...
Interesting.
Yeah,
what
like,
is that I'm smelling, Jamie? Lead me to my conclusions.
Well, I can't. I have to just guide you. I can't tell you. I can't give it away. I mean, it smells like...
It's a little unripe.
It's, like, tart and
yeah.
sweet. It makes my mouth water.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes how it smells, tart and sweet, and makes my mouth water.
So at 5:30.
But then it doesn't finish that way.
Perfect.
No.
It finishes
like
with
to put this under?
Structure.
That is easy to drink.
Yeah, because it, like, starts off, it's like a burst, like a starburst in your mouth.
So you're all set for two at 5
I feel like often with Malbec, I feel like it needs food. But in this instance, I could just sit down and watch some Real Housewives with it. Last night.
I almost get, like, a little bit of, like, olive. Like,
maybe. Like a brine.
Yeah.
More than olive.
Yeah.
I don't want to limit it to that.
Right.
I mean, of course, being a wine shop, you know, if you come in and you want us to ship a case of wine to you, we can always do that.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Central Coast Uncorked. We hope that you enjoyed hearing the tasting experience from our point of view.
If you did enjoy the episode, please rate, review, subscribe on your podcast platform, and maybe even share it with a friend. Connect with us on social media because we will be posting places that we're headed and that we're recording at. So you'll get some inside tips that we don't release in the podcast. And you can also let us know where you think we should go.
We'll see you guys next week for another new episode.
Bye.
Bye.